Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, the Legit Boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode. And you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and available wherever fine podcasts are, including the Apple iOS podcast app. Be sure to leave us a rating and a review or a review, whichever one you want, maybe both. It's free and easy. It's a great way to support Going In Raw. We're also available on CastBox. We have a terrific partnership with CastBox. We suggest you check out the app. It's a fantastic way to check out podcasts. Apparently, we've been having some problems with Google Play.
Yeah.
Things updating properly. We're going to send that to our people. We're going to say...
Yeah, we'll get that worked out.
We'll get that all figured out. We're also available on the Patreon.
Hold on. Was it only Google Play that was the... No other platform?
That's the one that I've heard that we've had problems with.
Here, go ahead and continue. I'll check other platforms to make sure we're all good.
We're also available on Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 65 people watching the pre-show right now. Earlier, we had 300 people because we accidentally went live on our main channel.
Yeah.
For everybody to see. I was just mumbling away.
Yeah.
Talking about the day. And then somebody realized, you guys, I think it was Jazz Wooten here in chat, said, you guys are on your YouTube channel, you know.
Oops.
And we're like, oh, I forgot to change the stream key.
We're not very good with technology still.
I'm still getting used to coming into an office in the morning. On Patreon.
I feel like I got a little more spring in my step when I know I just have to come here rather than drive all the way to your
house. Well, I noticed that you're always here before me.
Yeah.
And you're always here before you would have been at my house.
Yeah.
So I can tell that you've been...
Part of that's just logistics. I mean, it's 15 minutes closer.
Yeah, I know. But there have been times when you show up at my house like 11 o'clock.
Also,
that wouldn't have been the case.
I haven't been going to the gym. I didn't go to the gym all last week.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I went once because... My shoulder's a little messed up still.
Okay.
And I'm going to go tomorrow, so I'll be here a little bit later. That's another reason why.
No, I am thrilled with the office. Like, I love being here. I love working here. I love the space that we have. It's great.
You're mighty comfortable here.
Yeah, man. Well, I got my shoes off right now. Is that going to be a thing with you?
I'll be honest. I'm not a fan.
I don't really care.
I know. I won't tell you not to do it.
You can't.
Well, I could ask you.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Like, I haven't brought my dog in, so you have that.
Mm-mm.
You have, that's as far as I'm going to go. But, like, no, man, I'm super comfy. You know, here's the problem. I kept on getting shocked. This thing, like, you got shocked when you turned on the record button.
It's not a huge deal for me, though.
I don't like it. I don't like the anxiety of,
well, it's It's not as if you're getting, you know, like, electrocuted. It's just a minor little shock.
I think you literally are getting electrocuted to a very, very, very
painful degree.
To a minuscule degree.
Have you ever?
I don't like
have
it.
Have you ever accidentally touched the plug on when you're plugging something in and get shocked that way?
Oh yeah,
I know.
It's horrifying.
It is.
It's happened to me twice. Once when I was like a teenager, I forget exactly what I was doing, but I was doing one of those things when I was trying to blindly plug in my TV, but I was like behind a thing.
Yeah,
and I was doing this.
Realized you had your thumb on the prong, huh?
And my thumb on the prong, and it went. It was like in my brain, like that. I was like, "Oh God!"
Yeah.
And then when I moved in, when we moved into the new house like 5 years ago, whatever it was, I was unscrewing the light plate thing, right? Uh-huh. The socket plate. And I forget how. I remember. The funny thing is I remember thinking to myself, I'm probably going to get shocked right now because I'm being kind of careless.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the thing hit it, but it's just, it hit the breaker. It just went like sparks flew, but I didn't actually get electrocuted.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, no, that's happened to me. It's terrifying.
Patrick Oliva says you should get some office slippers.
No, man, I'm barefoot. I just like to be barefoot. I made some shorts for myself today, too. I took some pants that I never wear.
Wow.
And then I cut them into shorts.
Pretty soon you're going to get like a cot in here. Just take a nap.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyways, so we're on Patreon. Oh, look, I've got this little thing for the $20. You get this care package.
Oh, it works.
Look at that. We got a comic book, some stickers, a poster with Mecha Santa and Top Knot Super Best either side. So you get to choose which one you want to put up. Mecha Santa's the right answer. And then a signed postcard. It's got our OG logos. That's the OG care package.
Yeah, man.
It's the vintage care package.
Yes.
With the old logo. I came up with, I don't have it here. But I drew and designed the cover for Stowaway Bear, the comic book.
Oh, I saw you did that. I have story ideas, so don't go any further with that.
Okay, no, that's totally fine. The cover is killer, though.
Okay.
It's a great cover. I don't know if I have it on here or not, but it's absolutely it's a great cover. I'm very excited it. Did I actually take a picture of it?
You sent me the cover without any pictures on it.
Right, yeah, no, but I did like a... It's dope. It's like a bear's skull, right? And then over like a still ocean water with a yacht at the bottom.
All right.
It's rad.
Okay.
Very happy with it. Stowaway Bear, the comic book. That's going to be the cornerstone of the next...
In my mind, the story starts not in the 80s. Well, not the 1980s. Me like, you know, prehistoric days.
Okay.
That's when the story starts.
Okay, there you go. Keep thinking of great story ideas.
So
Stowaway
the first
Bear.
Five pages will have no dialogue.
Okay, that's good. I like it. So you're thinking 2001-esque.
Kind of, yeah.
Kubrickian. I love it. I love every second of it. That's great. Keep on thinking of great ideas. And then we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. Before we get into our Raw recap, we're going to make one quick announcement. We were going to do this, or we sort of alluded to it midway through the show yesterday. But we're going to say it again. This Friday, the longest Royal Rumble event in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, will be on the WWE Network. Of course, we're going to be watching. We're going to be here in the office watching. We're going to be broadcasting our live reactions.
Correct.
Here is the still from it right there. Steven Larson's largest. I should change
it
to longest.
Ill?
Well, you're green and I'm blue. I don't know. I wanted to change up the color scheme a little bit.
All right.
You're ill or you're the Hulk. That's not... Do you realize when you're actually ill, you don't turn green? Like, you lose color a little bit in your face, maybe.
Well, the general idea is, like, when you... Like, if you want to visually show someone feeling ill...
Right. The ill emoji is a green face.
Yes.
Yeah. That's about to puke. But it's not literal. YouTube.com/Steven Larson, 4:27, 9 a.m. Pacific time, noon Eastern time.
Correct.
For the kickoff of the show. And here's what we're going to do also. There's been a lot of hubbub, and we're not going to get too deep into it because I don't really want to. But there's been like a lot of hubbub about the fact that women are not going to be performing at the longest Royal Rumble event, which is a big fat bummer. We're not going to get into the minutia of, or the debate of, you know, is, you know, should WWE even be putting this on? You know, they've got a big fat paycheck. You know, we're not going to talk about that because apparently people in the comments, we were talking about this the other day, were saying, you know, you guys are being disrespectful to the culture. And I could see that point of view. And we're not trying. We are not trying to be disrespectful to any culture. Absolutely not. But what we are going to do to sort of, I don't know, make what I feel is a negative, not being able to see the women's division perform, into a positive, we're going to donate half of the super chat money we receive from that live stream show.
Yeah,
we're going to donate it to a charity. There is a local homeless shelter that specifically takes in women and children.
Yeah.
From, I think, I don't know if it's like specifically from abusive homes, but it focuses on bringing in women and children. St. John's homeless
program.
Shelter
program. For Real Change is what it's called. Yeah.
That St. John's Program for Real Change. Yeah. That's what it's called. So half of the super chat money we bring in is going to go to that place. I actually have a friend who works there as one of the cooks. He says it's a fantastic outfit, and they're huge here in town. We wanted to do a local thing as well. Yes. Here in Sacramento.
Yes.
So that's what's going to happen with that. We hope you enjoy it. You join us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not asking for super chats. We're just saying people give us super chats. Half of it is going to go to this charity. We think it's a great charity.
Yes.
So that's happening. Let's talk about Raw.
Yeah.
I thought there was some good bits, but I thought overall it was kind of underwhelming. It seemed to lack some fire. I feel like Paul Heyman at the beginning sort of killed it for me a little bit.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily Paul Heyman.
He talked way too long.
He talked a while. Well, here, let's start at the beginning. First, the show kicked off with a great tribute to Bruno Sammartino. The entire locker room save for Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman around the top of the ramp. 10 bell salute.
Oh, yeah.
And they ran a great video package highlighting his career.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Anyways, right away, I guess the reason Lesnar and Heyman weren't on the stage is because they were coming out right after that. So they wanted to save that surprise.
Yeah. I think he would have been a massive distraction.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Because people don't really consider him part of the roster.
Roman was standing out there.
He's part of the roster.
I know.
People don't really consider Brock part of the roster. Yeah, that's probably not. That's one of the problems I have.
I feel like storyline stuff like that
should supersede storyline.
Yes, memorial stuff should supersede storyline stuff. Anyways, Lesnar and Heyman came out. Heyman drops a really long promo where he destroys Roman Reigns. Pretty much says, no, he does not pretty much. He does say that Lesnar is going to shred Roman Reigns and he's going to be sent back to the United States in boxes.
Oh, man, yeah.
And so Roman Reigns, his music hits. He interrupts.
I feel like you're underselling just how long he went
on. It was
on.
Really long.
It was really
long.
There's
like 10 minutes before he got to that bit about being sent home in
a
boxes.
A long 10 minutes, yeah.
I mean, it might be Heyman's last promo on Raw, so maybe he's getting his money's worth. Anyways, Reigns just saunters out. His hair is back in a man bun or a ponytail.
Look, man.
He's chill Roman.
He's chill Roman.
And after Heyman just verbally destroys him.
Yeah, literally says that he's going to be murdered.
Yeah. He walks in the ring with a mic and just says, essentially, well, that's just your opinion, man. He says, I don't know how I'm getting back here, but I'm coming back with that title. And that was it.
Yeah, I know.
You got destroyed.
Yeah.
Do something.
Yeah, right.
Why did they insist on making Roman look so damn weak?
That's their thing.
He walks out there with no fire, no intensity.
Yeah.
He just kind of ambles out there, gives his two-sentence promo, and leaves.
Here's my thing.
Like, we should have done is come to the ring with a mic, act like he's going to talk, and then sucker punch Brock. Fight.
Yeah, I agree with that. The inverse of that, or like the opposite thing they should have done, if they weren't going to do that, put a Corona in his hand.
Yeah, something. Like, go all in on Chill Roman. Margarita.
Hey, no. Listen.
From one of those long cups you get at Vegas with the watered-down slushy crap.
That's way too much.
No. That's, do that.
Let me ask you something. Is there a beer out there?
Board shorts.
Is there a beer out there that is more indicative of being chill than a Corona?
Well, I mean, that's the image you have in your mind because of their commercials.
So they've done a good job branding that for chill. I feel like Corona is
a chilada?
No, those are just the what Lacey likes those.
No, but then, like, they have the word chill in the name.
Well, yeah, but they have a long way to go before they can actually demonstrably say we're the most chill beer.
Bud Light Lime?
Come on, man, that's just for weird people. I don't know who would drink that crap.
I think Corona's
is like the ultimate. Hey, man, if I'm going to have, you know, beer with not a lot of flavor to it, I prefer Pacifico.
Yeah.
You know, that's my chill beer. But Corona's is like the most chill beer you can possibly have.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that might out-chill Corona.
Right, yeah. Like, no, Dos Equis is kind of doing something too much, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
But Corona is the most chill. Have them come down with a Corona.
Yeah, in a beer cozy.
In a beer cozy.
Yeah.
Give him the mic, and he says...
No, first have him like speaking to the Corona, like he thinks that's the mic.
Exactly. He does that face. Yeah, man. Look, I'm with you. But they've always done that with Roman. Like,
And they wonder why he gets booed.
Yeah, because he's like in the words of Ronda Rousey had a shirt said, "Don't be a DMB." He said, "Do nothing, bitch." That's what Roman Reigns kind of is. He's a do nothing, bitch. So I don't know, man. I agree with you. I find it bizarre. I find it funny.
Yeah.
Hey, Roman, here's the thing. You're going to go out there, and here's the thing. Have you ever been to the DMV, right? Okay, so like when you go to the DMV, all those people behind the counter, right? No sense of urgency. That's what we're going with for you and your new gimmicks.
Yeah.
State worker.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, man.
I don't know. This is their go home for what is supposed to be, I would guess, Reigns' coronation as Universal Champion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most underwhelming segment they could possibly do.
Yeah.
Wow, was that underwhelming.
It really was. And
the only
thing
I could think of is maybe Brock, like in his contract, just said, he shows up. No physicality, nothing. That's the only thing I could think of.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, there could be like a pay bump for throwing.
That's the only thing I could think of.
But how would that explain? Like,
you know they should have
done? Hold on a second. Does it also demand I can't be in the ring with somebody who's speaking a volume of over, like, you know, 10 decibels? Because, like, Roman Reigns, like, there's no fire, there's no passion.
I know.
Like, you know, it could be Paul Heyman. I don't want anybody to speak above a whisper.
I don't know.
Nobody can be excited near me.
You know what they should have done is have Brock not come out with Paul. Heyman comes to the ring, drops that same promo. Roman comes out, and we have something like the Samoa Joe Heyman thing.
Yeah.
Where Reigns gets in his face and starts to, like, threaten him.
Yeah.
And that's when Brock comes out.
Look, man.
Only has to hit him with, like, one punch.
We can list right now.
Just before security comes down and breaks it all up.
We can list right now. We have 64 people watching this live Patreon.
Yeah.
Every single one of these people in this chat room
has a better idea than what actually
could come up in 5 seconds with a better idea.
Yeah.
You and I could do 10 immediately off the top of my head. Better than what we got last night.
Yeah.
But that is the story of Roman versus Brock. For some reason, they are intent on having this limp to a finish. And it's been limping for 3 years.
Yeah, it's like when you get magnets and you use the same polarity.
Yeah.
They don't draw together. They push apart.
They push apart.
These two have anti-chemistry.
Yeah, their chemistry are like two magnets. That's not a very good analogy, but I see your point.
Yeah. No, it's not a good analogy, but it's trying to think of something clever that, like, these two have no chemistry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But you tried, and I appreciate that.
It wasn't the best analogy, but I tried.
Next up, Elias came out. The easiest way to get me to not want the easiest way to get X-Pac heat on Bobby Roode is to do what he did last night.
Yeah, interrupt Elias.
Exactly.
Like, are they worried that Elias is getting too over? Is that why last time he was on TV, he said, I'm not going to go into the ring and perform?
Maybe.
What are they doing? Why do they do that when you have wrestlers organically getting over? Like they're doing it with Rusev. He's so over, and they just have him lose all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Why? I mean, we heard, I think Meltzer said something like they didn't like the audience doing the 10 thing, and that's why Ty's like not on TV anymore. It's like this crowd participation.
Yeah.
That's like actually positive crowd participation.
Okay, can I play devil's advocate for a moment, though? That's kind of how the what thing started, and look at that.
Yeah.
So I can see them not wanting, like, I really doubt 20 years from now fans are going to be chanting Rusev Day.
No.
But I could see the 10 thing being a thing. That could be annoying.
Well, here's the thing. I'm wondering if the whole reason Ty was brought up is because the 10 thing was so over.
Oh, and then they ditched it? Yeah, that could be. I don't know, man. I don't know.
If you're going to bring him up for that, then at least let him do that and get himself over with that.
Yeah.
Rather than take that away from him.
And then on top of that, Bobby Roode just showed up on Raw last week, and then Elias won with a roll-up.
Yeah, no.
And it was clean, wasn't it?
More or less.
I mean, he probably held tights.
No.
He didn't...
No,
he didn't even.
Well, the finish was
because he reversed the glorious DDT.
But that wasn't what led to the roll.
Right? Yeah.
He just yanked Bobby Roode's arm against the ropes.
Yeah,
and then jumped back in the ring and rolled him up.
Yeah,
there was nothing dirty about it. Yeah. It was pretty clean.
I mean, I like Bob Roode. I like Elias. So if this is going to be a feud, that's fine. But still, so they'll have like a story in the Greatest Royal Rumble, probably like a mini thing, and that'll be even more of a thing. But yeah, I don't know. Next up, we had Woken Matt and Bray Wyatt,
doing a promo
together. I felt like this was a little bit more on even ground. Was this the first time they did their entrance? I liked. I liked it. It felt like there were more contemporaries than like Bray being.
Yeah. They did the entrance like that before, where it starts with Matt's music, and then
they have done that before.
Yeah, they did that last time they came out.
It was the first time I noticed it. I thought that looked pretty cool too.
Yeah.
So, it's still an odd pairing for me because I feel like they're just, I don't know. I want more stuff.
Well, before
the,
it was Bray assuming more of Matt's vocabulary and mannerisms. And yeah. It was a little more evenly distributed.
Than Yeah. So that's fine. So yeah,
more like contemporaries rather than
that's good.
Bray being Matt's, you know, like right-hand man.
I do hope that. Did you see Bray tweeting at his brother and Curtis Axel saying, join us in the whatever?
That'd be great.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
That would be really, really cool. For the simple fact that I really want to see Bo and Bray together.
I know.
I think they'd have fun.
I think so, too. This led to a match between Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt against The Ascension.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, one thing that's I still go back on. If you guys haven't seen the debut of The Ascension back before it was Victor and Connor, when it was, what's that dude's name, Bram?
Yeah.
And Connor. Go back and watch it. It's the worst thing you've ever seen in your life.
It's pretty cheesy.
But at least they're booked super strong. Man, The Ascension cannot be booked any weaker.
They're a comedy act.
So bad. It's so bad.
And that bit when Victor did the cartwheel and Matt laughed and clapped and said standing ovation and Victor kind of, you know, sold it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But then that was the last time the match was interesting because after that it was just all Matt and Bray.
So I do wonder... So Jason the Cabbie here in chat says, I still don't see how people think Bray isn't into this. I thought he was all in from the start.
He seemed more into it last night.
He did. And I do wonder if maybe because he's about to have gold. All right. You can't be upset if you're about to have a tag team championship. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if it's a matter of getting kind of on the same wavelength.
Oh, it could be.
Or finding sort of a chemistry because they do a different thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Charvel Myers, Ascension, or the WWE equivalent of Hilton.
Ooh. Well, the Ascension are on TV.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah, the Ascension, they lost. Not a big surprise. Was this part of that tournament thing?
No.
What? Were they doing a tag? Oh, they're already fighting for it. They already won that thing, right?
They did it like 2 weeks ago.
I honestly, it's so much is going on. I just don't pay attention.
Oh, my gosh. This is only our jobs, man.
I know, but come on. And then Thibar's gone. Oh, yeah, that's right. They're fighting Thibar.
Yeah, they're on SmackDown now. Thibar's not winning those tag titles.
That's right.
I can't wait till we do predictions tomorrow.
There's too many titles, man. I can't keep up. Anyways. Why are they fighting right now if they've got a match on Friday? I don't know. That's stupid. Like, if the Ascension would have won this, would that have put them in contention for these tag titles?
No.
No? They just would have lost momentum.
Sort of like Chad Gable beat Jinder Mahal. It's not like suddenly he's in the U.S. title match now.
No. That's not how they do it?
No. Let's talk about the Kevin and Sammy show because I thought this was great.
Okay. Did you see that lawn chair they brought out for Kurt Angle? That's what I'm aiming at. That's what I'm going to get.
You consider that a comfortable lawn chair?
More comfy than what we got.
Well, yeah. That's debatable.
Oddly, but
it's... You know what I never liked about those lawn chairs? You always have that bar that's going right underneath the middle of your thighs. It gets uncomfortable after a while.
Well, especially if you're like, you know, if it's really hot outside, it could burn you.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about having metal pressing against your flesh for a number of hours. It gets uncomfortable after a while.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I'll try it out at Target when I go.
Okay.
I kind of want to get some, like, plants, too. I want, like, a tropical theme, you know.
That's what you want to do. If you're going to take care of the plants, that's fine.
See, you do storage. I do...
You're the botanist here.
Production. Yeah, exactly. No, not botany. Like, oh, there'll be fake plants.
Okay.
I don't want to water plants, man.
I think fake plants are more expensive, though.
Oh, that's okay. I'll put on the company card. We just write it off. It means it's free.
That means I have to pay for half of it.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on. The Sammy and Kevin show. I thought that was decent.
Oh, fantastic.
They made a joke about Kurt Angle's kids. That was funny.
Yeah.
He said, he's got, you know, you got five kids to feed. And Kevin said, no.
I'm pretty sure it's six.
He's like, wait a second. He gets his legal pad out.
And Kevin Owens says,
one, two, three, four, five.
Here's the problem. You forgot about Jason Jordan. And there was like... five beats before Sammy said, oh, yeah, Kurt kind of did that too for a while. He didn't do it right away.
Right.
He waited. It was great. Sammy got his reading glasses out.
Yeah.
His legal pad.
I do kind of feel like, I don't know, I'm not going to say they're copying it. I think Sammy was doing this before I was doing it. That's the thing. It was my favorite look.
But I kind of wish they had done something like this because even on SmackDown, Sammy and Kevin were talking about the Sammy and Kevin show. Like, actually give them the show.
Yeah.
And actually let them show off their comedic chops and their chemistry. Because they never really got that opportunity on SmackDown. They were always stuck with this typical promo type stuff.
Yeah. That was great.
I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah, they gave Kurt a lawn chair to sit in.
Yeah. Kurt Angle had some good bits.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, I don't know why they're poking this bear, because Kurt can do what he did last night.
I know.
He made a match. Sammy and Kevin versus freaking Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
That's a tag team I'd like to see.
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah, man. That's what they should have done. They should have had Braun just replace Nicholas with Bobby Lashley.
Well, then also, Kurt says he's in largest Rumble, as is Chris Jericho, as is Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, people are popping for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. SmackDown's going to be good tonight.
Oh, yeah. Next, Seth Rollins backstage. He's approached by the Miztourage. They open their jackets and scream, "Burn it down," because they're wearing Seth Rollins shirts.
Yes.
They want to forge an alliance with Seth now that the Miz is
not
on SmackDown
just any
Live.
Alliance. They want to be new Shield.
Yeah.
And they put their fists out like that.
And Seth says, "It's going to be a hard no."
A hard no. When's the last time you had a hard no on something? Mine was yesterday when you asked me to put my shoes back on. That's going
to
be a hard no.
I didn't ask you to put your shoes back on yesterday.
Yeah, but you're inferring as much.
That's what I said.
So we're doing that now.
Yeah, something like that.
So we're walking around barefoot now? That's a thing? And I think I just didn't say anything.
Yeah, you don't sold it, which is kind of what I expected. I said my bit and I was done with it.
Oh, man. You let your feelings be known. So that's a thing now.
What? Sometimes that's all you need to do is just say your bit and then you're done with it.
Yeah. No, that's good.
So like the first time I bring tuna in here for lunch. You're like, oh, you're the guy that brings fish into the office, huh?
Oh, I don't mind that.
As long as I don't microwave it.
No, it's going to be like, you know, I don't know. Probably salmon, maybe salmon.
I wouldn't do that. Most I do is like a tuna sandwich.
Yeah.
That's the most.
And honestly, it's just the microwave.
Yeah.
I like the smell of tuna, to be honest with
you.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah, tuna's good. I might make another one. Make one for me. Huh?
All right.
Come on, man. Bring it up. Bring it in.
I'll do that.
Anyways.
I'll do something that annoys
you. I'll
eat
your freaking tuna sandwich.
Well, you know, if I say you can. At some point.
I meant if you brought me one. Only if I say you can.
I'll have to start bringing my lunch in here and writing my name on it. Keep you off my stuff.
Oh,
there'll be a certain point I'll do something. I'll be like, oh man, all this stuff over here we got to put in storage right
only
now.
If I say you can.
And you'll get annoyed by it.
Oh god, that's good.
Next, Titus Worldwide. They want some payback by what happened last week against Dolph and Drew. Tag
uh-huh.
match.
Yeah.
Man, at first I was not into Drew and Dolph as a partnership, but I got to tell you, after seeing them in the ring,
mm-hmm.
I dig it.
Did I miss something? So Tommy Cat, sorry, said, please tell me they spent at least 10 minutes burying Roman's fake fans. Is that really a thing?
Well, there was like a small group of people that were chanting for Roman.
Okay.
And like 10 or 15 people. The camera cut to them.
Yeah.
And then I think Heyman acknowledged him, or Roman acknowledged him, or something. And that was it. No, Heyman did.
Oh, okay.
Promo.
I thought that wasn't there like a more of a healthier smattering of fans that were chanting for Roman when he came out.
Oh, I don't know about that. Just during Heyman's promo, they actually cut to a group of like 10 people.
Were they all like interns or something, or all they? Were
well,
all
I think
PAs?
That was the idea, is that they were. Putting plants. In the audience for the sole purpose of cheering for Roman.
Oh, well, I don't know, man. Well, like, we've been to plenty of shows. I've seen plenty of people with Roman
yeah.
stuff on. Maybe they're doing it ironically. Maybe they just want to get
be.
On TV. You want to get on TV, cheer for Roman.
Yeah. Anyways, at least in terms of their in-ring work, this mm-hmm. Dolph-Drew partnership is already working out pretty well.
Yeah. No, I love it. I think
they work great together.
So Dolph seems like he's got a fire under his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew... Look,
that promo was great.
That promo was great. That promo, like, if you want real evidence, like a real example of somebody who hits it out of the park when given an opportunity, look no further than that promo.
Yep.
Because the delivery, the energy behind it, the charisma, everything about it was exactly what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
It was reminiscent of his first promo after he was released from the WWE.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he showed up in ICW.
Yeah, I believe so.
And he cut that promo that left everybody wondering, why wasn't this guy in WWE? Why wasn't this the guy that
yep.
they actually
yep.
used? Everybody's saying their plants. Okay. I mean, that sucks. if that's true.
Sucks.
Let me ask him. Do you consider Brock Lesnar guy a plant? I don't think. I mean, he's
I think
not
he's like a super fan.
He's just a super fan.
Yeah.
That they know they can rely on for him to like do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, but yeah, if they put him there, then, you know, that sucks. Yeah. And it's cheesy.
Yeah.
But, you know, Impact once did that with an entire, when they went to India and they paid people to be there.
Well, I was gonna say,
and
like
it made for great TV.
Every episode of Impact in the Impact Zone is tourists that are there for free.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily paying customers either.
Right, exactly. They don't even know what's going on. They're like, no. Oh, when does the ride start?
I know. Is this one of those where the just the seat move?
Right, exactly. Where's the projection screen? Are the wrestlers going to come at me
How
or
come
something?
We weren't handed any 3D glasses on the way in?
No, anyways, but Drew is fantastic. He's fantastic.
Yeah. As you said, Dolph seems to have a renewed sense of passion and purpose.
Yeah.
As he says, we don't steal the show. We are the show.
Let me ask you something, though. Why, Drew, and I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. But did Authors of Pain, as soon as, like, Ellering left, did they start peeing on, like, people's bags or something? Like, because why were they not on TV, and why were they booked weaker last week
than they were the first time?
Then, well, Drew and Dolph ran through Titus Worldwide, who are supposed to be quite a bit stronger,
yeah,
a tag team than Heath Slater and Rhino.
Yeah.
And Authors of Pain had problems with him last week.
Well, no, that's what we said. They should have destroyed him.
Yeah.
Bashed them
much quicker
the second time around.
And
yeah.
Drew and Dolph had zero problems. They went through these guys
is,
like
they,
butter.
They don't think about things that
thoroughly. No, they don't. They don't at all.
And they should.
But it is evident. Like, dude, Authors of Pain have been on the precipice seemingly, at least have been ready seemingly to be called up for six months now.
Yeah.
And there is no plan in place, evidently, at least one that, you know, means TV every week. That's weird.
I know.
That's so weird.
I know.
So I don't know.
I know.
Let's see here. No, I'm not. Here's my thing. Authors of Pain, until they do something else, I find them, you know, we felt they were stale.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're like, okay, well, cool. You know, they're getting called up. That's what. But I don't know what they're going to do with them because they're kind of one-dimensional. Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler are not that. And yeah, their tag chemistry is great.
Well, not only does Authors have to worry about Drew and Dolph, they also got to worry about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it seems like they're going to be in the tag division too.
I think so, yeah. And there is a conversation to be had about the state of tag team wrestling in general. Are they simply going to start because the rosters are getting to be to the point where they're just super deep?
Oh, they kind of have to do that.
They're going to have to start doing
people
that.
People up, yeah.
I mean, I wonder if Redragon and War Raiders are kind of... I mean, I've mentioned before how I feel the NXT tag division, while there might be some potential there, besides War Machine and Red Dragon...
Oh, and TM61.
And TM61, yeah. I always forget them. There's not a whole lot going on, and I wonder if they're going to shift away from traditional tag teams coming in to, you know, just pairing up singles competitors. I don't know. But anyways, next up we had Kurt Angle backstage. Chad Gable shows up, and he says, hey, you know, Kurt Angle says, you know, he says, oh, hey, how's Jason doing? And he said he's fine. He's just going through rehab or whatever.
Well, Chad asked Kurt Angle that.
What did I say?
He said the other way around.
Okay, Chad asked that to Kurt Angle. And he said, but I didn't bring you here to pair you with Jason Jordan. You're here for it to be a singles competitor because I think you can hit it out of the park, basically. Chad said, I'm ready for any opportunity you got. And then Jinder shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, says, Kurt, it's messed up.
Yeah. What happened last week where I lost the U.S. title to Jeff Hardy, and then Jeff Hardy gets sent to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then somehow, some way, he starts running down Chad Gable.
Yeah, first he says, who are you, Braun Strowman's tag team partner at WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
And hitting the gym?
Yeah.
And then he made an
That was actually pretty
that
funny.
That was funny.
Because, yeah, his delivery was good.
And then his next attempt at a joke, not so much.
So, yeah, mini-me, Vern Troyer died a couple days ago in a very sad situation where I think he had actually been in the hospital like a couple months prior to him actually dying. A couple months, maybe it was a couple days. I don't know. I forget what it was, but it's really sad. And he said, "Oh, you know, I get that you're making the joke that you know he's smaller, but comparing him to Mini-Me and then saying straight up he just passed away 2 days ago, that is not making your joke any better. That is like, you know, it's a human being, man." Can't be cracking those kind of jokes.
Nope.
And I'm really surprised that nobody said, like, I got on Twitter. I was like, I'm not really going to say anything, but I want to see what anybody else says. Nobody else said anything either.
Well, I thought I saw something.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Maybe.
Anyways. But it was what it was. And he said that. And the funny thing is he said the joke really sheepishly. And I wonder if even he felt uncomfortable.
Could
you
be.
Know?
Could be.
Anyways. So then that led to a match between the two of them. Again, we've said this before. This is kind of a recent thing that we've talked about, I know, in a specific episode, talking about Jinder Mahal. Number one, I find Jinder very entertaining as a character. I want to see the guy succeed. I really do. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's that great of a wrestler. And given how SmackDown is loaded with really good wrestlers
I
feel like Raw is a better situation for him. That being said, Chad Gable is a hell of a wrestler.
Yeah.
And so this was a decent match.
It was.
Like, Jinder can... He can be brought to a decent match opponent.
I don't remember when it was I said it, but I think Jinder benefits from being in the ring with people who work a faster pace because it forces him to work a faster pace. Because when he works his usual pace, which is slower, more meticulous, it's not the most exciting contest.
Yeah.
Whereas this match, Jinder's match against AJ for the title, fast pace.
Yeah, sure.
More entertaining.
Yeah. When you have somebody who's taken it, who's, yeah. What you just said.
Chad Gable reverses a Colossus into a roll-up and picks up the win.
Yeah.
After Jinder had the upper hand for most of the match.
So I'm wondering, whoever's booking this is also the producer behind the Elias Bobby Roode thing. Because kind of...
Oh, roll-up.
Kind of upsets also.
You figure
Bobby Roode's going to go over and you figure Jinder Mahal's going to go over.
Well, you think if Elias is going to win, it's going to be through... nefarious means.
Right, exactly.
Not just a relatively clean roll-up.
Yeah. But I do like that, I mean, Jinder's been on TV a couple weeks in a row, so good for him. And there does seem to be, look, say what you will about Jinder, when it comes to the general power rankings of the superstars.
You mean the Raw top 10?
The Raw top 10, yeah, list, exactly. They do treat Jinder like a bigger star, you know, and they should. He was WWE champion for 6 months.
Yeah.
So, can we just get, where is, boy, that came late. Wait, where's the, oh, cool. So we can talk about it in like four more segments. My segment of the year so far, Baron Corbin's promo.
Oh,
no way, Jose, I can't wait for that.
Next, Riot Squad interview. Pretty basic stuff.
Yeah. Ruby Riott really should have been a face.
Mm-hmm.
She's too likable.
Mm-hmm.
She's way too likable.
She was a really good face in NXT.
And, yeah, I know she was. So it kind of bums me out, but Liv Morgan's getting a little bit better on the mic.
Yeah. So is Sarah Logan.
She's getting better. I can make out about half of what she says now. Something about trapping animals.
Yeah.
And she said the locker room has, they're jumping at shadows, which is good.
Yeah.
So it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
Next Samoa Joe iPhone promo.
I loved it. So, and I forget who said this on Twitter, but somebody said this reminded me of a Matt Chat question.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I can't get that out of my head whenever I see these iPhone promos.
And what college word did he bust out? Prognosticators?
Prognostication? Oh, I didn't notice that. That's great.
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, he basically said, you know, Roman, you're going to lose and then...
Yeah, I'm going to destroy whatever's left of you.
Oh yeah, at Backlash because I still have a match even though I'm a different brand.
Even though Samoa Joe's going to lose that match, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Next, Miz Taraj, again, backstage, talking to somebody. Camera pans out. It's Finn Balor. They want to be part of Balor Club, the inner circle of Balor Club, I guess.
Yeah, they don't
they want to
simply...
forge an alliance with Finn Balor.
Yeah, in a wrestling way.
And here's my disappointment about this segment. I wish they had done it because it'd been funny for those who got the joke. Instead of saying... you know, us and Balor Club would be too sweet. They should have said, us and Balor Club is real. That would have been much funnier. That
would have been good.
So they throw up a couple of too sweets. Finn says, no.
He wouldn't even too sweet them.
In fact, they held up too sweet after he walked out of frame. He came back and lowered their hands.
That's so rude.
I know.
Like, man, I feel like, you know, at least give him a too sweet. Balor Club is supposed to be for everyone.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like they should be able to get the two sweet.
He can say no and then still get a two sweet.
And say, look, guys, I mean, but at the same time, they've kind of been terrorizing him off and on.
I would understand why he might, you know, hold a grudge.
Yeah. But still. I feel like he's a turn the other cheek guy.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Both Finn and Seth were pretty cordial in their interactions with Miz Taraj, given their histories.
Yeah, sure.
With him. They at no point were they rude.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily disrespectful.
Yeah.
They were
damn near sympathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Seth.
Yeah, totally. Give him the two sweets. Say, look.
Say, sorry, you know, given our history, it can't do it. But good luck to you. He walks out. They're about to two sweet each other. Just drop a little too sweet on him.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt anything. Crowd will pop.
Yeah, crowd will pop for that. Absolutely.
Because like even have Finn do it like this, like, all right.
Yeah. Here's the thing. People like Mr. Raj.
I know.
They really do. They want them to do well.
I know.
So it would have been nice to have seen a two sweet.
Yes.
But, you know, when a guy punches you in the face, I guess that sort of ends that. Next up, we had a fantastic match.
This was a ton of fun.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley. This was the Braun Strowman show. This was fantastic. Every time he got off the ring apron and ran to shoulder check the crap out of Kevin Owens, who sold it like it was real.
I can watch it all day.
It was, dude, I laughed so hard, like the second time he did it, and then even more the third time.
Or we did it twice.
The third time was the drop kick.
Yeah,
no, which is always insane.
I laughed my ass off.
Oh, it was fantastic.
But even before that, it was a really fun match. Lashley was in majority of the match, got the hot tag to Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
Owens and Zayn were you know, bending the rules a bit. Owens ran around once, pulled Strowman off the apron right as Bobby Lashley about to get the hot tag. Just a really well-booked, fun match.
No, this was good. I had one small problem with it, and this is kind of nitpicking, I guess, but the idea that Sami Zayn could strong-arm Bobby Lashley away from a hot tag, he's like on top of him doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
no, but Lashley got up.
Huh? Yeah, no, he did. He powered his way up. But I'm just feeling like Bobby Lashley is jacked.
Yeah, he is.
He should kind of just be able to toss
Sami Zayn up there forever in that versus.
Oh,
suplex.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun. And I love Sami Zayn selling it by kicking his feet.
Oh, also he was like shaking his head because all the blood rushed to his head.
Like that was great. It was good. That stuff was really good stuff.
Braun Strowman is the most over guy in all of Raw.
I know.
He's incredibly over.
I know.
And it's awesome.
I know. And eventually there I don't know if it's gonna take I don't know what it's going to take, but eventually
they got to give him top spot.
They got to give him top spot. They really do.
It's getting to the point almost where he can't be denied.
How is it they're not in a meeting and they don't all agree this dude should be the next face of the company? He's got everything and more.
I know. Next, now you can talk about the segment you really want to.
Let me ask you one thing. Let me ask you one thing.
What?
Braun jumping down from the apron and running over to check Kevin Owens a couple times. Whose idea was that?
They did it last week once.
Oh, okay. I'm assuming that they're working with a producer or a writer, and we just don't know.
And I remember when it happened last week, the way Owens sold it, because it kind of happened, because I think Braun checked them and then went after Zayn with something. So it was almost kind of incidental.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember watching Owens sell, like, oh my gosh, that was a great sell. Someone watched it, liked the spot.
Could be.
And said, oh, we got to do this again. Let's do it twice because it's really effective, especially when we focus on it.
We've always kind of felt that it wouldn't surprise us if Owens and Zayn, but especially Owens, had some degree of input in his creative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't surprise me if this was a Kevin Owens thing.
Could be.
Because that seems to be up his alley in terms of his sense of humor. That's just the impression I get. Yeah, let's talk about this now. No way Jose and his stupid...
Well, before all this, there's a promo before commercial saying, next, Baron Corbin.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, they're going to feed Corbin some jobber.
Sure, yeah.
And then back from commercial, No Way Jose's music hits.
Yeah.
He walks down the ring, or dances down the ring with his conga line.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? They're going to job out No Way Jose on the second appearance on, or third appearance, however many he's been on Raw?
How would that surprise you?
No,
that
it really
could
would.
Not surprise
but
you.
Given how he was booked the first time, I thought, that's a little soon for that.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So then Baron comes out to the ramp.
Yeah.
He has a mic.
Oh my God. Promo of the year. This was the most Baron Corbin promo I've ever heard in my entire life. It was fantastic. He says, come on, man. You're that all people there. Five or six of your people, they're there to jump me if we have match. I'm Baron Corbin. I'm now Raw. I used to be champion. I think that was actually a line he said. I used to be champion. He didn't specify U.S. champion.
Oh, I know.
He just said, I used to be champion. I am
here on Raw to be champion again.
You like having fun. I like not letting people have fun.
That's how I have fun.
Is my fun. Not your fun. By the way, the camera cuts at one point to No Way Jose, who already inherently has a confused look on his face as a human being.
Yeah.
But he looked more confused by what the hell Baron Corbin was saying up there.
But
he says, I'm not having match now. We'll have it another time or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
And then he leaves.
He leaves. Noe Jose somehow, in with one sentence, out-promos Baron Corbin's ramble.
Well, he pretty much just says, okay, well, this match is going to happen, but the party's still going. Let's go. That was it.
Exactly. Straight into the point. Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, this is like the coolest I've ever seen Noe Jose. He completely no-sold this stuff.
And so the conga line goes up the ramp. Noe Jose stays, you know, in the middle of the ramp, dances as the conga line goes back. Right as he turns around and go backstage, attacked by Baron Corbin. Here's the thing. How come there was how many people in this conga line that was there to set a trap for Baron?
Yeah.
How come nobody did anything about it? And also, I want to give credit to Corey Graves because he was pointing out various people in the conga line.
Yeah, there was
Hot Pepper Guy. And then Michael Cole says Lime Green Shirt Guy.
Yeah.
And Corey Graves says, oh, he looks like he's a Hardy Boys cosplayer.
That's right.
That was great.
Oh, and by the way, we forgot to mention this at the top of the show. One thing that this Raw did was make me sorely, sorely, sorely and severely miss Booker T.
Yes.
There was one moment on camera when the commentators, you know, when they do the thing, they're standing up talking to the camera. Booker T and Corey Graves threw a glance at each other that lasted, I swear to God, 6 seconds. And it was the most bromancy look I've ever seen between two men. And it was a thing of joy.
Yeah.
These two guys obviously love the crap out of each other. They amuse the crap out of each other. And it's so sad that they have to be separated again.
I know. The whole interaction about the Noe Jose entrance, oh.
It's so good.
Fantastic.
It's so good. I love Booker T and Corey Graves together. They make such a fantastic team.
Yes.
It bums me out big time.
I know. It bums me out. This is just a one-week thing.
Yeah.
What happened after that? Oh, so anyways, Baron Corbin beats the heck out of Noe Jose, does a choke slam, backbreaker onto him on the ramp.
Yeah.
I guess we're getting this feud now.
Yeah.
Next, a PSA from Alexa Bliss.
A moment of bliss. And it was an anti-bully. It was an anti-bully. Here's a public service announcement.
Yeah.
And
she said burrito bowl, and that was funny.
I'll admit I laughed. I know it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. Freaking laugh, man. Her delivery was spot on. She played it with such a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
And there were elements of her little story that she told that cracked me up. She said the word burrito bowl.
Yes, burrito bowl.
Which is a funny damn word.
Phrase.
And she told a story about a homeless lady coming up to her and Nia Jax back when they were still friends. And she had a burrito bowl. She gave it gave it to the homeless lady. Nia Jax then ripped it away from her and started laughing and eating the burrito bowl. And Alexa Bliss pointed out the sound. She said, you know, I'll never forget the sound of her laughing maniacally and chewing. And I laughed. I thought it was funny. I thought it was well executed. It's a terrible angle.
It is.
It's not good.
No.
But this performance made me laugh. So there it is.
It was really just the words burrito bowl that got me. I you could say burrito bowl in pretty much any context, and I'll chuckle.
I know. I agree. Anyways,
after that, Finn Balor and Seth Rollins teamed up to take on the Miztourage. If they're going to pair up a couple of superstars, it'd be pretty cool if we eventually got a Finn Balor, Seth Rollins team. I know they were tagging together on the house show circuit.
Yeah, pretty heavily, yeah.
Yeah, they got good chemistry.
Finn Balor Instagrammed a picture of them together.
Yeah.
And they looked serious and cool.
Yeah, man.
They both look very cool.
I know.
So, yeah. That was good.
That was good. They picked up the win. Finn pinned Curtis Axel after a stomp from Seth and a coup de grace from Finn. Next, Natalya, Nia Jax, Ember Moon, Sasha Banks, and Bayley backstage. Natalya was kind of giving a pep talk to her team for the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Both Ember and Nia talked briefly. Three of them went, I would assume, towards gorilla position. Sasha turns to Bayley, looks at her, and Bayley walks the opposite way.
So, like, yeah, this is like not a very great backstage segment, partially because Ember Moon, God bless her soul. I think she was so excited to be there. Nia Jax said her thing, and then Ember Moon said, Riot Squad! Because she was supposed to say something else, and it was one of those things where the words just completely escaped her, so she went, Riot Squad is going to get theirs or something, man. And I just started chuckling. But she was one of the highlights of that damn match. Ember Moon, man.
Oh, gosh.
She's so good in the ring.
Yes, she is.
So anyways, then all the women left except for Sasha and Bayley, and I'm just thinking, they're thinking to themselves, this is really what people want to see right here. We could put on like a killer match of the year. Just what people want to see.
I know.
So So wait, are they? They're not scheduled for anything, right? They don't have like a match coming up or anything.
No.
Okay.
Wouldn't be surprised to happen at Backlash though.
I really want them to like. We've mentioned before. This needs to be a slow burn to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That's where they need
Money in the Bank. Because Money in the Bank.
Well, they're going to be in
the Money in the Bank.
So match, SummerSlam, yeah. Just kill it. Oh, they could kill it.
Oh man, you know what's going to happen during the Money in the Bank match? Eclipse off the ladder.
Don't do that. That's dangerous.
I know, but so was doing
off like the third from the top rung. Yeah, not the top.
Not the very top. Second from the top.
Okay, that's fine.
Because she did one from the top rope to the outside on Shayna Baszler.
That's right. Oh, that's going to be good, man.
Yeah, man. So anyways, our main event.
Who's early favorite to win that?
Well, I don't know who's in it.
Wouldn't that be killer if they gave it to Ember Moon?
That'd be fantastic.
Oh, it'd be killer.
Well, who's going to be in the movie? It would be three. I think it's cross-brand, so it's going to be, I assume, three from Raw, three from SmackDown. So
sounds right.
Sasha, Bayley, Ember Moon.
Okay.
And then over on SmackDown, Becky. Becky, Charlotte, and somebody else.
Becky, Asuka, Charlotte?
Oh, yeah. Becky, Asuka, Charlotte.
Boy, that's a stacked Money in the Bank match.
I think both of them are going to be stacked because holy they're cross-brand,
yeah,
man.
Right. Whoa. Some people are going to be left out of that one, man.
Yeah.
Unless they bring it up to like eight people.
That might be too many.
And it'll still be stacked.
I know. Main event, Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, and the Riot Squad taking on Bayley, Ember Moon, Natalya, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax.
This was fun as hell.
It was a lot of fun.
This was fun as hell, and I love the finish. It was chaotic. It was messy.
Yeah.
There was a lot of great stuff. Mickie James was totally a standout. Ember Moon was a standout. And Nia Jax was a standout.
Yeah, I never seen her do that shoulder tackle off the apron before onto everybody. That was crazy.
So everybody fell, but it was on directly on Ember Moon,
pretty much.
She got laid out.
Yeah, man.
No, there was a lot of really good stuff to enjoy about this match.
Kind of the major story beat leading to the finish was Natalya had Mickie James in a sharpshooter. Sarah Logan comes in, breaks it up with a chop block.
Natalya sold the crap out of it.
Yeah, she sold it really well. Rolled out of the ring. Trainers come up to check on Natalya's knee. After that, it was like chaos. Everybody fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Nia does a leaping shoulder tackle off the apron onto everyone on the outside. Mickie James recovers enough to go around to where Natalya starts beating on her.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey runs out to make the save. Mickie gets back in the ring. And then while Ronda's looking after Natalya, Mickie does like a sliding kick.
Yeah.
Knocks Ronda over. Upsets her greatly. Ronda gets in the ring. Judo throw, arm bar. Mickie is no longer an issue.
Ronda Rousey, I mark out, dude. I pop for her when that music hits. It's they're so on the right path with mm-hmm. her. They're so on the right path. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Like, what's her ceiling? What do you think? Like, if they keep this up, is she going to be? I mean, I know we've heard that the plan is to main event Mania 35. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
She picks up the title then. That'd be nice.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty hot.
Yeah.
Man,
I think it's at this point it's totally believable.
I wonder how. I mean, there's the possibilities with her. I think are totally endless. I think that the women's division plus what's going on in NXT is so stacked that they could be like, it's possible. And there's talent across all divisions, but it's possible they could be perennial A show. I'm sorry, A story
mm-hmm,
with
mm-hmm.
with Ronda Rousey, mm-hmm. Charlotte, Asuka, Bayley, mm-hmm, Sasha Banks. Mm-hmm. Perennial A storyline. I mean, I don't know if the analogy between Stone Cold and Vince is possible because Stone Cold was what?
What's with this light show your computer's putting on right here?
What's going on?
It was the lights were changing colors and stuff. What does that mean?
What lights? What, this one right here?
No, all this stuff around the rim of your laptop.
Oh, I don't know. It's all just for show, man. Smoke and mirrors. Makes it look cool. I don't know.
Well, that might mean something.
I might. That turns on. That turns
on. Oh, that's what it was. I think it was just kind of turning off.
It's going in chill mode. It's having a Corona right now.
Corona. Beer cozy.
I'm bringing some Coronas on Friday. Nah, I'll bring Pacificos.
Yeah, we're in for a long day. We better bring some donuts and get some lunch because we're going to be here till.
I know.
The show's going to last till 2.
I agree, man.
And then we got to do a recap right afterwards. Or we should.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Yeah. Anyways. No, it was fantastic. I thought that the main event, I thought there were a couple really, really fantastic moments where I'm really looking forward to SmackDown tonight, though.
Yeah, me too.
I get the feeling that I'm cautiously optimistic. Their creative mojo Not talking about Mojo Rawley.
We get a Ms. TV segment with Daniel Bryan tonight. That's been advertised.
That's hot. Hot.
Asuka and Becky Lynch taking on the Iconics in a tag match.
That's going to main event. Mm-hmm. They're doing that because of the women thing. And you mentioned this before cameras were even rolling. Triple H issued a statement.
He did an interview with The Independent. Yeah,
okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah. Wrestling Inc. has a rundown on it.
I find it funny that people are giving us flack about not having women at the show. He didn't actually say that.
No.
But yeah. Anyways, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. That's going to main event. That's why they had the main event, the Raw women's thing. Yeah.
Let's answer some questions, Steve.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Nemo. Steve has crossed the line, ate Larson's leftover lunch, probably my tuna, and I said you couldn't have it, when he was at the office alone, and there is only one place to settle it, in the octagon. You both get to choose.
Octagon, holy crap.
Yeah, man, this is a real fight. You both get to choose someone to train you, someone to be your manager, someone to be your hype man or woman, one person each to be on commentary, and you can decide together who will be the ref. Well, the ref's an easy decision, right?
It's Hilton, right?
No, I thought we were going to do Herb Dean.
Oh, I wanted Hilton to be the
ref. Okay, Hilton be the ref. He's know anything about refereeing an MMA match, though.
I'm pretty sure he'd help me get over, too.
That's an issue.
Yeah.
So I veto
for
that.
You, yeah.
Yeah, I veto that decision.
Well, you don't get it. The State Board Athletic Commission.
It's true. It's out of our hands entirely.
It's out of our hands, so it's Hilton.
No, he's not qualified. He's not licensed to do it.
I'm going to get Dan Henderson to train me.
All right, why?
Because he's old and very successful.
Okay.
Who are you going to get to train? No, wait.
GSP.
My team is going to be... Oh, that's a good one for you. Because you're all small and wiry. It's going to be a combination of Dan Henderson, Dan Severin.
Okay.
Because he's like a bear like me. And he'll come at you like a bear.
It's no cartoon Mickey Mouse stuff, huh? This is a real fight.
Right, exactly. And, who else? Oh, and then I'm going to go to London and train, or England and train with Bisping.
Oh.
Because I just want to go to England.
I thought you were going to do three Dans.
Oh, yeah. What other Dan? I was thinking about that, too. Oh, and Dan A. White.
Dan A. White.
Dan A. White.
Yeah.
Because he's where the money is. Anyways, let's see here.
So there's the train, someone to be your manager. Who do you want to be your manager?
What role do managers fulfill in the UFC?
I don't know.
Because it's
handling your business affairs, like legitimately. If it's just one fight, I don't need anybody to handle my business affairs. I just need to cash a check.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, can I get my manager to
someone to be your hype man or hype woman?
Justin Bieber.
Oh, no. This is the right answer. The Burger King.
Damn it!
Give me the Burger King.
You just beat me on that one. Crap, you
one
might win this match.
Needs for commentary.
Oh, I love Joe Rogan
I
on commentary.
Too.
I think
I
he's
do.
Great.
I
and
do
bring
too.
Back Mike Goldberg.
Yep.
Okay, we're on the... Yeah, okay. And then we need to decide. So Nemo says we got to decide together who's going to be ref.
That's what I said together. I said to begin with.
So Herb Dean?
Yeah, man.
I like Herb Dean.
Yeah, he's great. Man, imagine being in the octagon hearing Bruce Buffer say her name.
Fighting! Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, man.
And then, like, they'd get a shot of me and his hand would poke in.
Oh,
I like
when
he gets super close
to
people.
That's the
best. That's the best.
Fighting! He's so fired up about it. Gosh, it's so good.
It's time! Anyway, he has a podcast, or he did a while ago. I don't know if he still does or not.
Oh, well, I think I knew that.
Wonder what he talked about.
Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster and Kayfabe. How do people get their own shows?
Dan Matha. In Kayfabe. I mean, So Kayfabe includes what we see in 2K18, the gorilla position there.
Yeah.
In my career mode.
Yeah.
So they talk to Jason Jett. And they say, hey, you know, the Sammy and Kevin show, we're going to need some pictures. We want this segment right here. And they say, well, let's see if we can work this out with production, I guess. It's probably not that different from
how it actually
happens. To be honest with you.
Yeah. Next, Bronze Grappling Hook. Whose promos do you find you're getting bored with? He's bored with Paul Heyman because every promo by him is the same as the last.
That's definitely the answer.
Shane McMahon.
Yeah, that's another good answer.
I think of any full-time wrestlers whose promos I'm kind of over.
I mean, I'm never really excited when Roman talks.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of over that.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird. Every once in a while, he'll show like some actual charisma, and I'll be like, where's that guy all the time?
Yeah, no, that wasn't on display last night. Friendo Club Hunter Rook. Kayfabe reasons Brock wasn't out with the other wrestlers for the Bruno Bell salute. I think it's just because he was coming out for the first segment of the show, and they wanted to...
Well, kayfabe reason, though.
No, I know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's because he doesn't care. He doesn't know about WWE history.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even know who Bruno was.
Broken Jacob Omega. Hi, friendos. How would you guys book Ronda versus Charlotte at next year's Mania? Personally, I would have Ronda win the title, especially if she continues how she is now. Then would have Charlotte win the Rumble next year. Long-term booking.
I feel like they need to not go with Charlotte as a face if they do that. I feel like Charlotte should be the final proxy for Triple H and Stephanie. Their close relationship with the Flairs.
Yeah.
You know, they've known Charlotte, obviously, since she was probably a baby. I think that would be the way to go with that.
Yep. Assuming they're going to do that proxy scenario with Stephanie in terms of taking on Ronda.
I think they should. Yeah, I think that's that's what they should do.
No, I definitely think they should. KC Malone, do you believe it's possible that AJ could realign himself with the club and they could do a face tweener thing on SmackDown? Then at Money in the Bank, Finn wins the briefcase, turns heel with the club, and cashes in on AJ.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Any scenario that includes all four of them together
is a winning
scenario.
Winning scenario.
Whipped cream dream. If you could sit in the back seat and ride along with any superstars for an episode of Ride Along, who would you pick?
I'll be hard pressed not to pick any combination of Gallows, Anderson, AJ, and Finn.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
Regular Trevor, what is the first feud you want for Woken Matt and Woken Wyatt? Honestly, I want to be the Fashion Police.
Oh, that'd be fun.
They would have great videos and love to see them go to the Hardy compound. Could honestly see Tyler Breeze getting pinned by King Maxwell as well.
Yeah, that could be fun. I want it to be with a wealth of I want them to do another tag team Apocalypto.
Interesting. Top Knot Super Beast Slow Wolf. When Kevin Owens lost the Universal title to Goldberg, he said Stephanie said he could have a rematch for it whenever he wants. Do you think this will come into play while he is on Raw? Yeah, he's be one of the people brought over to feud against Roman for sure.
Yeah, I could see that. It depends. I don't know. Like, there is always the possibility that they could see Kevin and Sammy as the next T-Bar, and they weren't breaking up anytime soon. So I don't know.
The Nightcrawler. Hey, guys. So I'm a strong believer that Brock is one of the best performers in wrestling today, but only when motivated. My question is, if Brock was 100% motivated, who are five performers for him to have programs with across all promotions? Personally, he would love to see a motivated Brock put over Minoru Suzuki.
I would love to see that, too.
Yes.
I think it'd be great.
Nakamura. I think that'd be good.
Yeah, Nakamura would be fantastic. I still want to see Finn. I think that'd be good.
Yeah. Lashley.
Yeah.
That could be good.
Yeah, that could be good. I'd be fine with that.
If they had like a shoot MMA thing.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'm trying to think of somebody else. Brian Cage in Impact, a talent swap in Impact Wrestling.
Keith Lee.
Oh, that'd be good.
Robert Snack. Would you rather have the Ascension join the Broken Universe and become an acolyte type team for a Broken Matt-led faction, or do you believe keeping them a jobber team benefits the product more?
I would like... I want something good for them. So, no, I'm going to go with the Broken Universe. I think that'd be fun. That'd be cool.
Same here.
That guy. To make up for no women's matches at Longest Royal Rumble, should they do an all-women's Raw Super Show? I would be totally fine with that. I feel like last night and probably tonight's main event are some form of acknowledgement for, you know, the lack of women in the Saudi Arabia thing. I don't know if... I guess my thing is this. If they were to do... No, I don't know. I don't know if they would do that or not.
What?
Probably not.
What?
Doing it, because people have suggested that. Like, it'd be cool if they did... Kind of to supplement that.
Like a network special.
An all-women's network special. I think that'd be fantastic. I wonder if they would feel like it would be biting the hand that's feeding them in Saudi Arabia to a degree. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I could see that possibly being, you know, hey, Would it be pissing them off if we're like, would it be sort of like, I don't know. You know?
I don't know. I don't know either.
Yeah. Let's see here. No, I'd love to see it though.
Oh, yeah, I think it'd be great. Connor, say yeah.
Yeah.
Farrell, with the debut of the Sammy and Kevin show, what three superstars on the main and NXT rosters would you give their own segment show to? Velveteen Dream.
Oh, that'd be good. I think the Velveteen Dream would be great, but instead of having it like... In WCW, remember when Kevin Sullivan was feuding with Hulk Hogan before the NWO stuff?
And the Dungeon of Doom
stuff? And they had like a weird set with weird lights. That wasn't in the ring. That was like up on the stage.
Yeah.
I would want like a Velveteen Dream interview segment.
Yes.
But with that level of set design.
Yes,
it's obviously not the Dungeon of Doom stuff because
I know what you mean, though. That, production value.
Or remember during the NXT, the North American Championship video promo,
mm-hmm.
how he was like in his living room or something?
Yeah, yeah.
There.
Yeah.
On the couch.
Yeah.
And they did a thing where like in the back corner, like there's another Velveteen Dream sitting there in a chair. It'd be weird.
That would be weird.
Oh, great question. Morgan the Younger. Power Rank top 5 superstars banned from the Office Space.
WWE superstars?
Yeah, so Adam Mayhem right now is banned. He's the only wrestler that's
banned
from this Office.
He's not banned.
Right? Other 5 superstars banned from here. It wouldn't be really beneficial to our business to ban them.
No, it wouldn't at all.
I can't really think of any. I mean, all time, we got to go with Benoit, right? He can't be here. That wouldn't be good.
Yeah, I can't really think of anybody on the current roster. It's just not good business.
It's not good business. I wouldn't ban Roman Reigns. No, man. I wouldn't ban him.
No.
What about Scott Steiner?
You get too much of a kick out of having him
if
here.
If they said, hey, Scott Steiner wants to do an interview in your office, we do it? I'd do that.
Yeah, I would too.
I'd do that. What about New Jack?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. All right, bring New Jack in. Karen's looking to take over your desk, man.
She said, here?
No, that desk.
That desk?
Well, I mentioned before that you just sort of chill here when you're doing stuff.
Well, you came in today, I was sitting over there.
Yeah, every morning you're sitting there, but once you transfer your computer here, it stays here.
Yeah, because I don't want to keep moving my laptop back and forth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no Enzo.
Oh.
That look on your face right there. Probably means no Enzo. Let's see here.
You want to play pay-per-view?
Yeah. You figure out what we're going to do for pay-per-view.
It's got to be some sort of backlash, I would guess, huh? We did backlash last time.
Okay, so no, this is a great question. I agree, actually. That guy, I think we already did one of his, but I'll do this again. Is it just me, or would it be better if Big Cass and Drew McIntyre switched spots on the roster?
See, here's in one sense, I think it would for Drew because he'd be instantly in a main event spot on SmackDown. I think that's the spot that he deserves.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't think Dolph and Cass would have the same level of chemistry that Dolph and Drew already have.
Here's another thing to consider.
And I think their chemistry they already have, which is going to improve, is already pretty great and really entertaining.
Once Cass is done with this Daniel Bryan thing, I'm not sure what his ceiling is in terms of the short term anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I feel like the Drew-Dolph situation is probably better for Drew because there's a long-term thing going on there. You've said this before. He's going to team with Dolph, and then he's going to turn face, and it's going to be huge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People already want to like him, and they're going to really appreciate the work that he's doing with Dolph.
Yep. Let's do a Starrcade.
Oh, man.
I'm doing Starrcade 93. Look at
that. You know the way to my heart, man. Starrcade. You're doing what year?
Starrcade 93.
That's a great year for WCW. You had Mankind versus, or not Mankind, Cactus Jack versus Vader in 93.
Why don't they just have the list of matches? Usually there's a thing I hear on Wikipedia that just says results. He hit that, and it's the matches. Where is that? Why is it not? Oh, there it is. Let's get angry. How many matches do you have? Look at you. I have eight matches.
I have the possibility of 12.
All right, well, I have eight.
What year are you doing? I'm in 95. So I'll take away the first four.
All right.
And we'll go from there.
All right.
I'll go first.
Sounds good. You said you're doing 95, you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Masahiro Chono versus Lex Luger.
Chono.
Wrong.
Darn it.
This is 95, man. Lex Luger was hot.
Pretty Wonderful, which was Paul Orndorff.
Paul Roma. I know who Pretty Wonderful are.
Versus Marcus Alexander Bagwell and Too Cold Scorpio.
Oh, man. Pretty Wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is this... This might be a crossover with...
Oh, is this a New Japan crossover?
It doesn't say specifically, but I think it is, yeah. Anyways. Here we go. Your favorite wrestler ever of all time, Johnny B. Badd.
Oh.
Versus Masa Saito.
Johnny B. Badd.
Very good. They pushed him to the moon.
Yeah, they did.
In 95.
Awesome Kong versus the Shockmaster.
Oh, the first Awesome Kong. That's right. I forgot. This is Starrcade 93. Shockmaster won that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Shinjiro Otani versus Eddie Guerrero.
Otani.
Very good.
Ricky Steamboat versus Lord Steven Regal for the WCW World Television Championship.
I'm sorry, who?
Ricky Steamboat versus Lord Steven Regal.
Ooh, who came in as champion?
Lord Steven Regal.
93? I'll say Regal retained.
He did with a time limit draw.
I said Regal retained.
I know. You probably thought he cheated.
Should I get a point for that?
Yeah, it's fine. You said Regal retained. You didn't say he won. You said he retained.
All right. In a singles match.
Okay.
Tenzan versus, oh, yeah, the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Oh, yeah.
Tenzan.
No. Snap into a Slim Jim.
Tex Lazinger.
Okay.
And Shanghai Pierce versus
awesome
Cactus Jack and Max Payne.
Cactus Jack, Max Payne.
Uh-huh.
Sting versus Kensuke Sasaki.
Sasaki.
No, Sting won.
Dustin Rhodes versus Steve Austin in a best 2 out of 3 falls match for the United States Heavyweight Championship.
Who came in as champion?
Dustin Rhodes.
93?
Yep.
That's too early. Dustin Rhodes won.
No,
Steve Austin. Really?
Wow. 2-0. Swept them.
Ooh. What? Triple threat match.
Okay.
The perennial WCW franchises. Ric Flair, Lex Luger, Sting. Who won?
Flair.
Very good. You're on the board.
Well, I wasn't on the board before. In a match for the WCW International World Heavyweight Championship, the champion, Rick Rude, versus the boss.
Rick Rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that last match, that triple threat match, led to a spot to fight for Randy Savage's WCW World Heavyweight Championship. Ric Flair won that match. Therefore, he got to move on and fight Randy Savage. Who won?
Macho Man.
Wrong, Ric Flair.
Yeah, I should have said Ric Flair. The Nasty Boys versus Sting and Road Warrior Hawk for the WCW World Tag Team Championships. Championship. The Nasty Boys were champions.
I'll say they retained.
No.
Really? Sting and Road Warrior Hawk were tag team champions?
Yeah, man.
That's interesting. Anyways, Oh, you have one more. See if you can pull into within one singles match for the WCW United States Heavyweight Championship. Oh, that's funny. This is a dark match. Here, I'm going to go back and see if there's a better match in the ones that we didn't. Oh, here we go. How about this one? Ooh, here, how about this one?
You still have one more match here, too.
Jushin Thunder Liger versus Chris Benoit.
Liger.
Very good.
You have one more.
Okay.
For the WCW World Heavyweight Championship, the champion, Vader.
Okay.
Versus Ric Flair.
Starcade. Vader was champion coming
in? Mm-hmm. No, 93, sorry.
I'll say Flair won it.
Yep.
Nice. Six.
Good job.
And yes, it was confirmed here. Jason the Cabbie says there was some WCW. Wait, hold on a second.
Oh, that was a crossover show?
Hold on. Yeah, it was a New Japan crossover show, yeah. I'm trying to see what he said.
Save it for the post show.
All right, very good. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hold on a second, Hilton. Do you have that music queued up?
Come on, Hilton.
Oh, good job, Hilton. Look at that. He's got that music. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much for watching. Until next time, talk to you guys later.
Bye.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.